1980 in an archives used instrumentally to help preserve or digitize some media, not to play around with, although maybe the archivist does and has delight in it. Whereas instead of it being strictly only a tool, it is an object in and of itself, I guess. In your...
This is Joe Callis, formerly of the Human League and the Rosillos, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
I just heard some terrible news, honey.
What's that, dear?
WGXC is going off the air.
Oh no, they didn't get my donation of 45 cents and a cup of old coffee.
Ah, well, you can go to the website, wavefarm.org or wgxc.org, and give them a donation. You can do it monthly, online, by check. You can even give them your stocks.
Oh, I'm not giving them my stocks, honey. My Apple stock just went up.
Oh, you love that Apple stock.
Oh, and I love apples and peaches from the orchards of the Hudson Valley.
Oh, boy.
Berlin pianist Niels Fromm is known for his intimate and spontaneous concerts, and on the next Deep Threes, we'll hear an impromptu composition. Plus, music from Max Richter, Ylang Ylang, Sky Thing, and Maya Beiser. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Are you tired of your flying saucer always breaking down on your way to Mars?
Wish you could get more bang for your whoopee at the gas pump?
Well, here at Flying Saucer Mart, we have the perfect flying saucer for you.
It goes as fast as light. It comes in a variety of colors and only costs you 75 whoopee.
Come down to 375 Bionic Ave in Pluto City and fly home with a new used flying saucer today.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Heather Lloyd of Kinderhook, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Says this one won't miss. Awesome beyond description.
The most extraordinary output ever to emerge from the motion picture studio.
It costs $4 million and it has 4 million thrills.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Raymond Pignone reports in Columbia Green Media that the Hudson City School District approved a new three-year agreement with the Hudson Teachers Association on January 23rd. The new contract runs until June 30th, 2026, and includes a 2.75% salary increase in its first year for each teacher employed by the district. After that, union teachers get a 2.5% raise in 2025, and a 2.25% increase in 2026. School Board President Willette Jones said, and I quote, "This agreement deeply reflects the spirit of Hudson Together We Can and positions us to move forward collaboratively," end quote. Both the Hudson Teachers Association members and the Board of Education approved the contract on January 23rd. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Tiffany Greenwald Simon reports for Columbia Green Media that many local residents turned out in Catskill January 23rd for a public hearing on a proposed battery storage facility. The proposed facility would be at a junkyard at 8006 Route 9W in Catskill. Justin Adams, Vice President of Permitting at Elyon Energy, said the junk would be removed and the northern side of the site they will place 136 containers with batteries made of lithium iron phosphate producing 100 megawatts of power over a four-hour period. Catskill Grid LLC, the company running the facility, is talking with Central Hudson to connect the facility to the power grid. Residents such as Colleen Gavigan of Catskill worried about the impact of the new business. Gavigan said, and I quote, "I live in the house I grew up in. I know it's a throwaway neighborhood. It's industrial, but I don't want it worse than it was. I just don't want the neighborhood to get worse, and from my perspective, it looks like it's going to get worse," end quote. Adams tried to ease the neighbors' concerns, but admitted fans to cool the batteries would make some noise as high as 57 decibels. Public hearing for the battery storage business remains open and will be taken up at the next meeting of the Town Planning Board at 6:30 p.m. on February 27th. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that less than 17 hours before it was scheduled to consider proposed homegrown regulations, New York's Cannabis Control Board canceled its January meeting. The board has been criticized for its slow rollout of legal cannabis stores almost 3 years after the drug was legalized in the state. The Office of Cannabis Management said in a statement on January 23rd that, and I quote, "The Cannabis Control Board has decided to postpone the meeting to finalize review of adult use license applications currently under consideration for approval by the board. While we have a batch of licenses ready for approval, there are many more we want to get across the finish line to jumpstart New York's cannabis market in 2024, end quote. Statement from the board alleged the licenses were, and I quote, "held up by lawsuits from corporate interest," end quote, but the newspaper notes that, and I quote, "much of the litigation that stalled the rollout was filed on behalf of individuals who felt jilted by the state's licensing rules," end quote. The board was expected to approve rules so New Yorkers can grow their own cannabis this growing season and approve more retail licenses. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. Teachers in a rural East Texas school district are resolved to improve reading by elementary students. But for many, college classes didn't train them how to do that. Michelle Barrow, superintendent of Newton Independent School District, says despite a curriculum aimed at boosting reading scores, students were doing poorly.
I think some of our teachers were lost. Sometimes you want to throw your hands up because you're so overwhelmed.
A nationwide survey found more than a third of rural fourth graders tested below basic for reading, risking functional illiteracy, with lower income rural students at greatest risk. The district's seen progress since the T.L.L. Temple Foundation committed $3 million to coaching Newton teachers and improving training for future educators. Wynn Rosser is the foundation's president.
We can't have a thriving East Texas if our schools aren't thriving and if everything that we're doing is trying to ensure that young people can thrive, that families can thrive, that the region thrives.
A New York nonprofit believes more manufactured homes could be key to the rural housing shortage. Ben Carver with Ithaca Neighborhood Housing Services says a seventh of all rural housing is manufactured, and its lower cost can open the door to home ownership in expensive markets.
They offer, by and large, the same amenities, unless we're talking about a mansion of some kind, right? They cost less to build. The installation process is maybe a month as opposed to a year for a stick-built home.
But Carver says there's still a stigma because many mobile parks are old, run down, or both. Still, he feels the industry is turning a corner.
2 years ago, his group bought a 50-year-old manufactured trailer park in upstate New York and began a transformation.
What we were doing is this huge infrastructure project, turning the ground inside out so we can replace sewer mains and water mains and electrical infrastructure, and then paving on top of that.
They expect to begin opening by July. Atoka, Oklahoma's Main Street needs a facelift, and folks there knew crying in their beer wouldn't make it happen. Instead, they got homegrown country superstar Reba McEntire to help open Reba's Place, a restaurant, live music venue, and retail store.
Before Reba's Place, the majority of our buildings were closed or boarded.
Carol Irvin, who leads Atoka Economic Development, says McEntire visited during the pandemic and thought the project could help honor her late parents. Since opening, it's welcomed 200,000 visitors, having a huge economic impact.
One of the main ways is when they are fully staffed, it's 135 jobs, and they are all above minimum wage.
The Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma co-owns Reba's Place and reinvests the profits into healthcare, education, housing, and other businesses for the community of 3,000. For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
The road to death penalty abolition runs through Alabama and Oklahoma. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Countless cases lay bare the raw injustice of the death penalty in the United States. The case of Richard Glossop is certainly one of them. He's been on Oklahoma's death row since 1998, facing 9 separate execution dates. He's been given his final meal 3 times, and in 2015 was saved from death just hours before his execution, only after prison officials admitted they'd ordered the wrong drug for their lethal cocktail. Richard Glossop has always maintained his innocence in the 1997 murder of Barry Van Trees, who employed him as a motel manager in Oklahoma City. The flawed prosecution had no physical evidence linking him to the crime, only the testimony of the actual killer, Justin Sneed, another motel employee who'd already confessed to the crime implicated Glossop. In exchange, Sneed was able to avoid the death penalty. Last Monday, Richard Glossop was granted what might be his last lifeline. The U.S. Supreme Court, after issuing a stay of execution last May, announced it will hear his appeal. Even Oklahoma's elected Republican Attorney General, Gentner Drummond, is supporting Glossop's appeal. In agreeing to hear the case, the Supreme Court expects the parties to answer several questions, including, quote, whether due process of law requires reversal where a capital conviction is so infected with errors that the state no longer seeks to defend it, unquote. In addition to Attorney General Drummond, a bipartisan group of Oklahoma state legislators is also advocating for Glossop. After Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt and the Oklahoma Pardon and Parole Board failed to act on the group's clemency recommendation, the legislators recruited the Reed Smith Law Firm to conduct a pro bono independent inquiry. Between June and September 2022, the law firm released 4 reports detailing flaws in the prosecution's case and Justin Sneed's attempts to recant his testimony against Glossop and the prosecution's efforts to stop him from recanting. In their 343-page final report, Reed Smith attorneys detailed the case's many problems. They wrote, "The state's destruction and loss of key evidence before Glossop's retrial deprived the defense from using the evidence at trial and has deprived the defense today of the ability to perform forensic testing using DNA and technology advancements. The tunnel vision and deficient police investigation, the prosecution's failure to vet evidence and further distortion of it to fit its flawed narrative, and a cascade of errors and missed opportunities by defense attorneys fundamentally call into question the fairness of the proceedings and the ultimate reliability of the guilty verdict against Glossop for murder," they wrote. Since the Supreme Court stayed Glossop's execution last May, a Republican-led group of Oklahoma legislators formed a committee seeking a moratorium on the state's death penalty overall. The likelihood that Richard Glossop, an innocent man, could be executed was the primary motivation behind the effort. Oklahoma already imposed a brief execution moratorium after a botched execution in 2014 called into question the state's lethal injection protocol. Oklahoma lawmakers then passed a law that would allow the state to kill using an experimental technique referred to as nitrogen hypoxia, or nitrogen asphyxiation, which had never been used. Scores of workers have died in industrial accidents from nitrogen gas leaks and spilled liquid nitrogen, including six people who died at a poultry plant in Gainesville, Georgia, in 2021. Accidents like this have led those who defy execution methods to look to nitrogen as the latest foolproof method to kill. As of this writing, Alabama will be the first state to use nitrogen gas, with its scheduled execution of Kenneth Smith on January 25th. Smith survived Alabama's first attempt to kill him by lethal injection in November 2022. The executioners frantically sought a vein to deliver the deadly cocktail, resorting at one point to subjecting Smith, strapped to a gurney, to an inverted crucifixion position, as one person on the team repeatedly and painfully jabbed a needle under his collarbone. Even Alabama's ultra-conservative Republican governor, Kay Ivey, saw the need to explore alternative means of execution, hence this new foray into gassing people to death. Grotesque abuses of state power, as in Oklahoma and Alabama, are what led the late U.S. Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun to conclude in a dissenting opinion in a 1994 case, quote, "The death penalty remains fraught with arbitrariness, discrimination, caprice, and mistake," he said. Blackmun, a conservative when appointed by President Nixon in 1970, rendered increasingly liberal opinions during his tenure on the bench. He wrote the Roe v. Wade opinion, for example. In his 1994 death penalty dissent, Blackmun pledged, "From this day forward, I no longer shall tinker with the machinery of death," unquote. According to the Death Penalty Information Center, there are over 2,300 prisoners on death row in the United States. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowemaker, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and it's Saturday, so it's time for the latest episode of I Have Seen Niagara from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer, both based in Greene County. We've also got some jazz for you this morning, and we'll hear a little bit from Socrates-based band Blueberry's performance last night at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from a live WGXC web stream and broadcast. But first, we start things off with the WGXC Congressional Report. Stay tuned to the WGXC Morning Show.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns the blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a three-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many three-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXE will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a three-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509.
WGXE believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXE is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
All the candlelights, this is it, the night of nights. No more rehearsing and nursing a part. We know every card by heart. All the candlelights, this is it. We'll hit the heights, and oh, what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
I woke up to the buzzing of the TV and the smell of failure. Or maybe that's the smell of vinegar. I tried to sit up, but my face skin was stuck to something. Must have nodded off with the old noggin flat out on the desk again. I spied a puddle next to my face. My usual. White vinegar, loganberry, and schnapps. Drinking is part of the job. I was a cop, after all. The kind of cop who can punt a football with both legs at the same time as long as I got enough Bahama breeze blowing through me. I fixed the antenna. News of another dead daredevil floated from the TV. No surprise there. Niagara stinks of dead and dying daredevils. I can't take a walk in the park without tripping on the carcass of some professional show-off. And the mayor says I'm the one... There was a knock on the door.
Hello, Sergeant? You in there?
I could tell she was a woman because she was a lady and she looked like one, too. She had breasts that could put a pork chop through a plate glass window. Hello, lady, I slurred. She didn't need an invitation. She just sauntered right in. Or maybe she scuttled. I don't really get verbs.
I need updates. These murders have every daredevil in town more spooked than a radish at a businessman's lunch. How close are you to cracking this case?
I'm about as close as I am to cracking your skull open for no good reason, I think to say. But instead, I picked up one of yesterday's cocktail shakers. Drink? I asked as I poured her a stiff one. Here, to calm your nerves, I tell her. She took the glass, and I felt the air around her relax.
Thanks. I could really use a drink.
One sip and she starts retching. I don't have time to deal with women gone goofy, so I lay it on thick. Listen, lady, I'm up to my onions and dead daredevils, and I don't have time for you today. Bobby Bunyan turned up dead in a turnip sack. Skinny Legs had his skis removed, and the Nabisco Kid was flung over the falls naked without a barrel. That was just this week alone, and now you, here. What was her story? Who was she? Why can't I remember? Oh, right. I drink to forget. She was a daredevil. Ursula Upchick, they call her. Empress of emetics, the valedictorian of vomit, capable of throwing up more than her own body weight. A real gusher. You're Ursula Upchick, ain't ya?
Yeah, I am.
Why did you really come here?
I wanted to.
Oh, I know what she wants.
I wanted to get you alone, so...
Uh-huh. Women are all the same, especially ones with legs. I gave it to her straight. Look, lady, I'm sure you're a grade A FDA-approved can of latex paint, but I'm a vegan, you see. I appreciate the come on, but you're not to my tastes.
I want to kill you. You murderer.
Number one.
Well, that might be another dead daredevil. Hard to say if she's still breathing or not, but I had a busy day ahead of me. Can't get distracted investigating the death of this daredevil when I still had got Bunyan's, Skinny Legs, and the Nabisco Kid's death still on my docket. Well, shucks. A dying dame always makes me crumble like the Pope's pie crust. I needed to take my mind off that dead skirt, so I stood on the couch and turned on the movie channel just in time for a classic.
Next up on the movie channel, How to Kill a Daredevil, the noir classic by Harley G. Boyles.
I walk these streets with a secret in my shoes. Every night I go out searching for suspects to find the man responsible for all these dead daredevils. But that's just to keep my mind off the music I can't seem to face. That I am the one who's been killing the daredevils, but my first stop tonight, the Gold Coin Motel. I got a score to settle with a couple of hunks named Jack and Coke.
No TV for me. It's too real. It's just daredevils, daredevils, daredevils strung from telephone lines, daredevils in my deviled eggs, daredevil flesh upholstering these here daredevil couch cushions, daredevils on the damn daredevil TV. If only the people of Niagara knew how much I've done for them. If they only knew that I was the one killing all of these troublemaking daredevils, ridding them from our... Wait. If I'm not careful, I'll spew too much chud. You can never be sure who's listening. Best to take this rant to one of those talk houses I kept hearing about. You know, those places where you can go and just say anything that's on your mind. Well, I went to that talk house, and I really let them know how I really feel about daredevils. Hi, my name is the Sergeant, and I would like to get some things off my chest. Daredevils are worthless, no good, lousy, greasy fatsos who sleep in jeans. Daredevil, smear-devil. Any one of us could jump over 12 cars on a race. Hang upside down for 10 days by our toenails if we had a
nothing
trust
fun.
Special about them except for daddy's
the
money.
Only thing a daredevil will never break is his
I've
ego.
Seen men smeared on the pavement who still have more sense of self than any of the younger generation.
I can smell their stinking blood a full city block away.
I hunt them down and execute them. But... I also think they're awesome. When I was a kid, all I wanted to be was a daredevil. They were the pride and joy of Niagara. Then the mayor of Niagara Falls, Mayor... came along with his theory that daredevils must be sacrificed to please the thunder beings under the falls who will lower our taxes. There is something special about the death of a daredevil. The mayor might be a godforsaken, hideous beast, but he is right about that. I hate daredevils, but I also love them. So I hate killing them, even though I love to do it. I'm feeling all torn up, know what I'm saying? Every night I go out searching for suspects, to find the man responsible for all these dead daredevils. But that's only to keep my mind off the music I just can't seem to face, that I'm the one who's been killing the daredevils. No TV for me.
Hey, Sarge. Sorry to interrupt movie time. But hey, isn't that a daredevil trying to sneak out of your trunk?
Well, well, well. Good eyes, Officer Tony. I'll be right back. Why don't you sing a song to keep yourself occupied?
Old MacDonald heard a farm, E-I-E-I-E-I-O. On his farm he heard a cow, E-I-E-I-E-I-O.
Stop right there, Slippery Frank. I should have known locking a daredevil in a trunk probably wouldn't work.
No, please.
Why don't you hop back in my trunk? I got a firing squad made up of 8 good men with bazookas waiting for you at the racetrack.
Please, come on, man. I'll never cheat death again with a high-risk stunt, I promise.
Not my problem. Tell it to the Thunder Beings.
I'll show those guys who the best hunk.
Not its farmy herd that cow, and that farmy herd that cow, and a duck. Now I know my animals. Next time, won't you play with me?
Wow, Officer Tony, you really know your animals.
All right, thank you. But hey, what happened to that daredevil out there?
Well, Tony, all that matters is that that daredevil won't be escaping from any more trunks.
I am hungry for a meal. May we go now and get some rib sandwiches, please?
Sure, Tony. Ribs for you, but for me, I'm suddenly in the mood for a fresh can of latex paint.
I'm the mayor of Niagara Falls. Mayor... And I approve this message.
Tuesday, January 23rd, was a busy day at the state capitol. Hudson Mohawk Magazine covered events with the Renewable Heat Now campaign, parole reform, and the New York Immigration Coalition. For part one, we start off with Betta Broad of New Yorkers for Clean Power and Laura Schindel of Food and Water Watch. Scheduled also in this year at the same time, we will then also hear about elder parole and other parole reforms.
Betta Broad. I'm the campaign director of New Yorkers for Clean Power and the director of advocacy and organizing at the Association for Energy Affordability. I'm here with my dear colleague, Laura.
Please. I'm Laura Schindel. I'm a senior organizer with Food and Water Watch.
We have an amazing turnout. Over 300 people from across the state came here to rally for New York. Yay!
Governor Hochul included key parts of the New York Heat Act in her executive budget. This is a huge deal. Governor Hochul has signaled that she's ready to take the next big step on climate. And she signaled that she's committed to delivering relief to New Yorkers across the state who are struggling to pay rising energy bills and who are suffering through fossil fuel-fueled extreme weather. Now we need Speaker Hastie to make the same commitment and put the HEAT Act in the One House budget.
Any more time. We have to transition now off of this outdated, dangerous, toxic, fracked gas system that is driving climate change. We have suffered through poisonous air, through orange skies, through smoky air, through unhealthy conditions, through floods, through record-breaking heat waves. What more do we have to witness until we get off this dangerous system and transition to clean energy and clean heat now? What's worse is we are being asked to keep dumping billions and billions of dollars into this outdated system. We're pouring this money into the fracked gas system, which leads to utilities across the state raising rates for people who can't afford it. It's unacceptable. Some New Yorkers are going to see their energy bills go up by $75 a month.
That ain't right.
We have to get off the fracked gas system as quickly as possible, and we need to do it now.
The New York Heat Act is the solution we need. It will kickstart our transition off of fracked gas and enable gas providers to invest in renewable heating instead. It will also end the $200 million in subsidies that we are paying every year to expanding the fracked gas system. Because by law, every house has to get connected to the gas system for free if it is near a gas main. And most importantly, it will get rid of the obligation to serve. Right now, every customer that asks for gas must get connected to gas by law to the fracked gas system. Getting rid of this gas guzzling system will be a huge boost to our transition to clean energy. All of this, New York Heat Act will reduce future gas rate hikes, well, like the ones pummeling New Yorkers right now across the state.
Governor Hochul included all of this in her executive budget. However, he left out one key part: additional protections for low-income families that are struggling to pay their energy bills every month. This is crucial. New York Heat Act utility bills will be limited to 6% of a family's income. This would save families up to $75 a month on their energy.
We can't afford to stay on fracked gas. We need the legislature. We need Speaker Hasty to follow Governor Hochul's lead and put the HEAT Act in the budget.
Our coverage of parole reform starts with Senator Brad Hoyman Siegel, lead sponsor of Elder Parole, followed by Assemblymember Michelle Szilagyi, who is head of the Black and Puerto Rican Caucus, and then Brian Hill, a paralegal with Legal Aid in Rochester, who spent much of his life in prison.
It is past time that we allow, we're just allowing, older incarcerated individuals to have an opportunity before a parole board. And as Senator Salazar, our champion on the Corrections Committee, said, it's not about automatic release. It's about having the chance at parole, right? If you're 55 years or older and have served at least 15 years, we just want you to have the opportunity to go before the parole board. Isn't that fair?
Yes!
Isn't that just?
Yes!
And I was speaking to Mr. Steele over here, and he said to me, and he's absolutely right, that it is unconscionable that these individuals don't have a shot at parole now, automatically. And it's unconscionable what we're doing by keeping them behind bars, separated from our community. And it is harmful to our local economy that we can't return these men and women to become real activated members of their local community to support their families and their small businesses and their community organizations. So,
the BPH caucus released their budget priorities, a people's agenda, and the tagline for this year is a demand for justice. So what do we want?
Justice!
And we particularly want parole justice, because we know that the war on drugs was really a war on people, and that Black and brown communities were at the brunt end, and we today are still suffering from the effects of mass incarceration.
That ain't right!
That's why we need to ensure that our elders are given dignity and given an opportunity to stand before the parole board. That's all we're asking. And so we stand here united as the caucus members, 77 of us, demanding that this bill come to the floor.
Where?
And that we want it now, because we cannot wait. We need to bring dignity to our community.
Yeah.
You say that you're in line, you want health equity, you want equality for all, you want to make sure that Black and brown folks are given and closing, the disparity gaps are closing. So show us that.
That's right.
Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Brian Bell. I'm a paralegal at the Legal Aid Society Decarceration Project. I'm also 1199 SEIU union delegate. I served 18 years and 9 months in prison. I went to 6 parole boards. My first initial 3 parole boards, I was denied without the full record. They didn't have my sentencing minutes. So I was denied 6 years without them even having the complete record. So what type of consideration is that? When I was released, like I feel like I was ready. I was ready to go home many years prior to being released, even before my minimum sentence. But I was released a day before my 39th birthday in 2011. When I was released, I had spent 50% of my life in prison. And I came home with nothing. I had to figure out how to rebuild my life. And that was the hardest thing in the world, to not go back to like negative things and to not give up. While I was doing the time, when I had year 5, year 10, year 12 in, I didn't know whether I was going to ever have, you know, be able to make a better life for myself, whether I was going to have a family, whether I was going to even make it through my incarceration. When I came home, I was luckily able to have a few friends from childhood that put resources in my hand, that gave me a support system. A lot of us don't have that. So that helped me. I got my bachelor's degree, and you know, I started a couple businesses, and I was able to work at Legal Aid as a paralegal. I taught myself law in prison. I helped guys get out. The only reason I was able to have success and to successfully reintegrate in society is because I planned this. Those same people that are not getting fair opportunity at the parole board, they're just like me. I'm no different than them. And if they're given the opportunity, they will have success too. And they come from our communities, black and brown communities.
That's right.
And we want them back in our communities because we feel that they're assets. We're asking for the legislators to pass elder parole and fair and timely parole so that black and brown people that have been incarcerated for many years can get an opportunity to come home to their communities. Thank you.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland.
Mark's greatest hits.
Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
In LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets. Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Institute for National Security Studies. Acoustic bullets. High power, very low frequency waves emitted from 1 to 2 meter dishes results in blunt object trauma from waves generated in front of target. Effects range from discomfort to death. A Russian device that can propel a 10 sonic hertz bullet the size of a baseball hundreds of yards is thought to exist.
And the walls came tumbling down.
Colonel Walter Manley, and I am the living spirit of the Jericho Institute, where we use sound creatively in the production of non-lethal weapons designed to save lives by changing the hearts and minds of our adversaries. During the Vietnam War, we still confused sonic power with high volume. For example, in the so-called Urban Funk campaign, where we mounted supersized oscillators onto attack helicopters and blasted Victor Charlie with heavy metal at around 120 dB. We called that weapon the Curdler, and it was a very primitive system. But we also used high-frequency nighttime wailing sounds in a weapon we called the Wandering Ghost, intended to spook the Viet Cong by playing on certain Buddhist beliefs. And that weapon was a big step forward, because we came to realize there is no sound more powerful than the one that conquers your true heart with deep vibrations. Joshua, fight the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua, fight the battle, Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down.
The sound of the shofar, which is a purified sound because the priests who blew the horns had been purified. And so in blowing that horn, they have something of that sacred wind of God, ruach, I think is the Hebrew word, with which God breathed the life into Adam. So once you've harnessed the power of God through the purity of the priests, there's no telling what power might come out of it. And the power to knock down an adversary's city wall seems small compared to the things that might be done by the might of God.
Deference tones. Devices which can project a voice or other sound to a particular location. The resulting sound can only be heard in that location.
This is Bill Arkin. I'm NBC News military analyst, newspaper columnist, and author of the forthcoming book, Code Names, Deciphering U.S. Military Plans and Operations in the 9/11 World. Proponents of acoustic weapons would say to you that they are as old as biblical times. But let's be real. These are highly engineered, modern digital weapons that take advantage of our greater knowledge both of the workings of the human ear and the human brain, as well as make use of sophisticated technologies to be able to project sound both over long distances and also over incredible decibel levels. And I don't think there's any real relationship between the weapons which are being developed today and those that existed in biblical times. But I think that the reference to that is to, it's at least suggest that the use of sound is something that is itself as old as war. Polysound, loud music used by American forces to drive Noriega from the Vatican Embassy.
Here at the Jericho Institute, ultimately, what we are talking about is a weapon that uses subharmonic infrasound, amplified by the power of evangelical Christian faith, to summon and deploy a voice that sounds like it's coming from right inside your head, but also sounds like it is coming from everywhere else. A voice that comes from everywhere and nowhere, from everyone and no one. And when you hear it, You will obey, no matter what it says. Because the real weapon that brought down those walls of Jericho was the voice of God.
From the early origins of Western civilization, sound is closely associated with magic. Much of this is forgotten, or nearly forgotten. One well-known surviving example is the magical incantation, Abracadabra. The point here is that the widespread belief is that the right vocal utterance can bring about some physical manifestation, or life, or even bring the universe into existence. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, which says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." The interesting thing is that he had to create light. He didn't have to create sound. Sound was pre-existing. This continues with the creation of Adam in Genesis 2, verse 7, which in my translation said, "Then the Lord breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." But if you look at the Targum, that translates the phrase "a living soul" as a speaking spirit. So my point here is to connect sound with breath and with wind and with spirit. And it's interesting to me that the Hebrew word for breath and wind and spirit is the same, ruach. That idea of sound and magic continues in religion today, because many religious people believe that prayers uttered aloud have magical powers to influence life and even to change the course of history.
And the walls came tumbling down.
The development of modern exotic weaponry, those weapons in the areas of the new physical principles of microwaves, lasers, and acoustic beams, began sometime after the end of Desert Storm, the first Gulf War, an era where it was pretty clear that peacekeeping was going to be a major function of the Western militaries. And there was a recognition that the tools were not available in order to do those jobs. If somehow non-lethal weapons could be developed that would enhance the ability of soldiers to conduct peacekeeping operations, then the notion was that certainly those weapons should be developed and should be deployed.
True sound of all true sounds. True voice of all true voices. True God of all true gods, Lord, hear our prayer.
I'm troubled by two aspects. One, that there is a suggestion that the introduction of this kind of exotic weaponry is somehow going to change the nature of warfare, somehow be able to leapfrog over some of the immutable rules of warfare. I think that kind of thinking, the shock and awe thinking, if you will, is what brought us to where we are today in Iraq. That there's a silver bullet, that we're going to win quickly, we're going to win so overwhelmingly, we're going to employ our high technology in such a way that the rules of warfare are going to be set aside.
And they shall know for all time the true voice of the one true king. Lord, hear our prayer.
There has been a strong push to develop some kind of a means of protecting sensitive installations, nuclear weapons bunkers, for instance.
Squawk box, crowd dispersal weapon, field tested by the British Army in Ireland in 1973.
By placing a very powerful acoustic alarm, if you will, inside of a nuclear weapons bunker, one that is capable of causing such excruciating pain.
It produces giddiness, nausea, or fainting.
So excruciating that you would not be able to penetrate the area that was being protected.
The beam is so small that it can be directed at specific individuals.
At the Jericho Institute, We like to think of America's deep and abiding Christian faith as one of our most strategically potent natural resources. We have extensive prayer networks throughout the Bible Belt and elsewhere, and our objective is to synchronize the latent vibrational power of these faith networks with an infrasonic sound that formally replicates the voice of God in terms of its frequency range and overall acoustic envelope. We call this process charging the airspace, a process that resembles rubbing on the magic bottle until the genie comes out. Ladies and gentlemen, God is there to hear our prayer. Now it is true that the previous assumption was that God had to make the first move from an acoustical perspective, as in, for example, when he says, "Let there be light," and there was light. But we believe that if we can create the right acoustic and provide the appropriate vibrational context, it will be possible to actually produce the voice of God in a faith-based conflict whereby God is on our side.
When Joshua's priests marched around Jericho blowing their shofars, I believe they were harnessing God's power. They were transforming it into a frightful military weapon through the purity of the priests. And Joshua could harness his power, part of the frightful secret workings of this weapon. It was like ancient magic, not so different from the secret of the atomic bomb itself. The workings of particle physicists are often seen as a modern extension of alchemy, and scientists could be seen as the modern priests who manipulate these mysterious great powers.
Sound source. Infrasound from nonlinear superposition of two ultrasound beams. Effects. Intolerable sensations. Targets. Riot control. Sound source. Very low frequency noise. Effects. Disorientation. Vomiting fits. Bowel spasms. Uncontrollable defecation. Targets, enemy troops.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm excited because it appears that we may get a chance to test our system real soon. And it turns out this test may take place not far from those old walls at Jericho.
The troubling aspect to me of these sonic weapons, acoustic weapons, sound weapons, and this type of exotica, is that there is also a contention on the part of the proponents that the physical principles associated with the application of the weaponry needs to be secret because countermeasures could be developed.
We are at the dawn of a new era for military history, marked by the dominance of a weapon system based on the most powerful sound in the universe. Joshua shouted, "Glory!" And the walls came tumbling down.
Most of these programs are rather elliptical and vaporous, difficult to grasp onto, difficult to get a lot of detail about. And that makes it very difficult then, therefore, to assess whether or not they indeed, well, whether they work. And then on the other hand, what kind of adverse humanitarian impact they would have if they were employed in a widespread way on the battlefield.
True sound of all true sounds, true voice of all true voices, true God of all true gods, Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Execute your absolute command, which is our absolute convocation. Your will, which is our will. Your eternal sounding, which is our eternal call. Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We, who long to